Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, we're going to start the show here in just a second, but first, you know, there are a lot of good podcasts out there, including mine, but there's only one by a former chair of the California Democratic Party, progressive radio and TV host, and member of the White House press corps. Of course, I'm talking about the great Bill Press, longtime host of the Bill Press Show, and now host of the Bill Press Pod with his twice a week hard-hitting progressive take on all the evils of the Trump administration. This week, for example, Bill exposes Donald Trump's phony attacks on President Obama, takes on Bill Barr, the worst attorney general in history, and slams Trump for refusing to wear a mask and taking unproven drugs while over 100,000 Americans have died of coronavirus. Plus, you'll hear Bill interview leading progressives like Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, Jerry Brown, and Pete Buttigieg, plus his weekly roundtable with three of Washington's top political reporters. That's why I subscribe to the Bill Press Pod, and you should too. Just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search the Bill Press Pod, and click on subscribe. Then tell all your friends to do the same. Join me as a subscriber to the Bill Press Pod. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, May 27, 2020, and this is the interview edition of the Bob Zeska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. So for today's show, I thought we'd take a teeny tiny break from politics and instead talk with two of the most talented musicians I know. The recording duo of Jen Farley from Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets and Mike Farley from the Mike Farley Band. And by the way, Mike is also the music publicist who's introduced me to so many of the indie bands I play here in the show. So today we're going to get to know the Farleys, and better yet, they're going to perform a few songs for us too. I can't wait for that. Links to support their work in the description at BobSeska.com. And by the way, please help support this podcast by subscribing at Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. All right, let's talk indie music with Mike and Jen. You're kind of the king and queen of my indie music playlist. Tell me about how you guys met. I got to hear the story because we were doing sound check before we started, and I'm listening to your voices, and they match perfectly. I mean, I'm talking about Buckingham Nicks vocal harmonies. Wow. And it's just an incredible thing that not only do you find each other, you start a family, but you have these amazing voices that go so well together. How did you guys end up bumping into each other?
I think we should just let Bob praise us. Even need to say anything.
Keep going, Bob. You're doing great.
Let's see. 20 years ago, uh-huh. almost to the day, uh-huh. My band was having an album release party for the Half a World Away album. Mm-hmm. And my friend Joe, who was a radio DJ at John Carroll University.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. He had my band on a few times. Like, he was friends with my guitar player, Jeff. And he talked Jen into coming to see us play.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe is my best friend. And we had a band as well. Mm-hmm. So I was Joe's, date, but not really, because we were more like brother and sister. date to Mike's CD release party. And Mike and I met there. And
we met in the It wasn't the green room.
Yeah, it was the VIP room. The Odeon in Cleveland, Ohio, in the flats.
Were you living there at the time, Jen? Or
yes, yeah, I'm from Cleveland. I grew up there.
Oh, wow. So you're both from Cleveland.
I'm originally from New York, from Long Island. I lived in Cleveland for like 12 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, our paths crossed through friends and music, and we met one night at his release party and started talking and started playing music together, and it kind of fit.
Incredible. And when did you figure out that you could actually sing together and it would sound as good as it does?
You know, I think, like, didn't I help you with a demo and you recorded some of my songs and some stuff that we actually wrote together?
Yeah.
And we knew then, I think, and then and also I had been joining their band on stage when, you know, a couple times to sing harmony with her. And it sounded good then. And then we just, we did a bunch of like acoustic gigs when we lived there and we were living together.
It's so funny to think, because one of my best friends in Cleveland was kind of mad that I jumped into a relationship with Mike.
You have to explain why. Yeah.
I had to get rid of a boyfriend before I could have a relationship with Mike.
Another live-in. Like, so then it was basically like I moved in.
Yeah. So my friend got mad, and then she saw us perform together a couple of weeks later, and she's like, okay, it makes sense. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm amazed by? You mentioned Cleveland, Ohio. I'm amazed at the music scene in Ohio, just in general. I mean, I have heard from so many Ohio-based bands that it kind of blows me away. I mean, one great example, other than the both of you, is Freak Bass. It's so astonishing to know that Ohio, of all places, has like funk scene going on.
Yeah.
And now you're both living in Madison, right? You're in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. What brought you both to Madison?
Oh, another long and twisted road. We got married in 2003, promptly quit our jobs, moved to Nashville, where like I had just started this business, and like I'd started as a side business. I worked in car dealerships. I was like in corporate management, and like, you know, I liked it at the time, but I wanted to be in the music business so bad.
Yeah.
And then when I started this on the side, I was able to do it full time when we moved, barely. And then, you know, I wanted to kind of pursue songwriting. Jen was going to pursue like singing demo work and things like that, and just other musical things in Nashville. And once we had a kid, we realized it's not really the best place for us to raise a family.
We heard so many great things about Madison, and both of us were just not in Nashville for the reasons why we went to Nashville originally. So we checked out Madison, Wisconsin, fell in love with it, and moved here. And we've been here 10 years now.
Yeah.
It really seems like the vibrant music scene that you had in Ohio is also there in, of all places, Madison, Wisconsin.
There's just so much excitement and support and enthusiasm that goes on in the music scene here. Yeah, and, you know, you could be a rapper, you could be a country duo, you could be a rock band, and like people are going to just eat it up. And it's great.
And that's one thing that is different. I mean, Cleveland also has like a really great original music scene, but it's also a cover band city. And, you know, like the biggest radio station there is probably WNCX, which is classic rock. And there's a lot of cover bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not so much of that here.
So it's more fertile in Madison, you think, for bands who perform original music, which, you know, includes both of you. I mean, you do some covers together, but at the same time, you're also recording actively your own music.
Yep. Yes.
And they're they're receptive to that. It's not like, you got to play more covers. You got to play Skinner.
No.
You
got
to do this. No. Yeah, no.
I mean, like, you get the occasional Skinner, but people really, like, they really actively search out local music here. It's crazy. And we're so close to Chicago. We're so close to Milwaukee. We're so close to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like, you could travel, you could tour and not be that far.
Right, right.
So
how many kids do you guys have? And are they musically inclined too? I imagine the genetics are leaning in that direction, right?
We have.
Yeah, you would think.
We have one kiddo. Uh-huh. We have one kiddo. And it's funny because we saw your little thing on Stephanie Miller today, uh-huh. and we talked about celebrities, and we're like, we're not even celebrities in our own house.
Yeah.
Like, our kid does not want us to sing ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, it's weird.
That kid can carry a tune, but I'm telling you, he does not want us to play music.
He's real weird about it too. Like, he loves the Beatles. He loves the Wiggles.
Wow.
And thank God he's sort of grown out of that. And he wants to listen to the Beatles or the Beatles like as solo artists. He listened to like some of my band's albums a lot. Like, I don't know, for a year or two, yeah. And now he doesn't want to listen to me at all.
Oh, but he
he's so weird.
Hates it when mommy sings.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really?
Hates it.
We should preface this. Our kid's on the spectrum.
Yes. Oh, I see.
He is on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. However, still, he hates it when I sing.
Yeah, it started out when he was like, 4 years old. Like, mm-hmm. we'd start singing, and he'd say, no song. And
we'd
be like, what?
Yeah. What's his name again?
His name's Jonathan.
Jonathan. How's Jonathan handling all of the lockdown business and the, you know, being isolated?
It's amazing, because I think he likes it a little too much.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's...
He loves being... Like, he could spend hours by himself, and like, he creates videos on YouTube. The kid has over 41,000 YouTube subscribers to his his cartoon channel that he makes.
Like, wow.
Cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. Okay.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think that he misses school. He misses the routine. Mm-hmm. And I think that he would like mom to get off of his back occasionally.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know that recording that woman who's a teacher, and she did that song on the ukulele where she like starts it off all sweet and then she screams. Have you heard that or seen that?
I haven't seen that yet. No.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
I'll send it to you after this.
Good. Yeah, but
that's basically how Jen feels every day.
Well, you know what? On that note, let's hear a song, because I'm dying. This I'm on the edge of my seat. I got to hear some music here. Let's hear "Home for Good." That's on the new Mike Farley Band B-Sides and Rarities album. That was originally recorded in 2001. But is that that's the version that's on the new album, on the B-Sides and Rarities album?
Yeah, we never released it. Uh-huh. That lineup of that band kind of split up, and we kind of changed direction. So I had this recording kind of for a long time. I did record it on my solo acoustic album, Moments and Memories. That was in 2007. But this is the first time that like the band actually released it.
Oh, great.
So we'll do our version of the two with us singing it.
And Jen, you didn't sing on the original version. You weren't on that?
I did not.
All right, let's hear Home for Good.
All right.
She's gonna come home again. come home.
She's gonna come home again.
She's got a motor and she's gonna come home.
She's gonna come
home for good. I've been waiting for this day. Sent, reflecting on all of this time, days to ponder, months to heal, never losing hope, she'd be back and back for real now. She's got a motor. She's gonna come home.
She's gonna come home again.
She's got a motor and she's gonna come home.
She's gonna come home.
Home for good.
She's got a motor and she's home gonna come good. Home. She's got a motor. She's got a motor.
Home for good.
All right. Mike Farley, Bob. Jen Farley. God, that goes Thank back you. 20 years. Can you believe it? Yeah. Does it kind of blow you away?
No,
when you...
it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I was such a fangirl of his band. So I was such a groupie.
Well, you know, I try to mention whenever I think of it that your clients, Mike, compose about half of my playlist of indie bands. Do you do Michael That's J. Cool. Media, your publicity shingle? Do you do that as a full-time gig now? Is that basically what you do as a job? And then also with the music too, right?
Yeah, but you know, for a while I was kind of just what I like to say semi-retired from music. When we first moved here, I didn't really do much. Jen and I kind of started doing some acoustic stuff together, like I don't know what, 2013 or so. And then she got started with her band Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets in 2014, and you know, I just, for whatever reason, I kind of didn't do that much over the next few years until my band kind of reunited, even though we live in four different states. And in this case, it was like Cleveland, Madison, Seattle, Portland. And I wrote like a bunch of songs with Jeff, my guitar player, over Skype. And we pieced the whole album, Where We Stand, we pieced it together. And never were in the same place at the same time.
Oh my God.
To do that. Yeah. But then released that and then kind of didn't do anything for a while. And now like the quarantine stuff has kind of, you know, got me going again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It feels good.
In fact, this is how I think of it. Jesse Terry, Michael McDermott, Liz Ann Knott, and Brian Lissick are like the Mount Rushmore of the indie bands.
Oh my God, they're going to love that.
Well, I mean, they really are. I mean, they are superstars. And again, there are so many of these songs that really deserve to have as big of an audience as possible. There's so much just incredible music that really none of us have heard about until we finally get introduced to these bands by people like you. Is there ever that level of frustration where you go, man, McDermott should be like a household name, for example.
He is, and, you know, he kind of has been. Mm-hmm. Like, he was at least when he signed his first record deal, like 25 years ago. You know, Brian Koppelman, the creator of Billions? He used to be, like, an A&R guy, and he signed Michael. He got Michael's first record deal.
Right.
And they're still like really good friends, but
oh yeah, in fact, I talked with Michael about that, and he ran into the bad.
That's
He ran into the Nirvana juggernaut, the rise of grunge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I think Nevermind came out like a week after his album. Bad timing.
Yeah. So he's always battled that, and you know he's battled other demons, but his music is so good, and his last few albums are so amazing.
Yeah.
We get some good coverage, but it's always like a little bit frustrating that he doesn't get the recognition that he should.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell people he's like a cross between Dylan Springsteen and Elvis Costello. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Everyone should be listening to this music. And it's just like, I can't get it out into the public fast enough loudly enough.
Yes.
Also, I mean, when did you decide, Mike, to be a publicist?
Well, I mean, the band was doing really well in Cleveland at the time, like in 2000, 2001. And I kind of like I got this bug that I wanted to be in the music business after going to South by Southwest like three or four times in a row. And it kind of happened by accident. Like my band was getting like radio airplay in Cleveland, like regular airplay. We were on like the morning show, the TV morning shows. Nice. And we were just written about everywhere. We won like some awards, like best rock band and things like that. And people started asking me, like people from other bands were like, "Hey, how did you make that connection with these people or that or whatever?" And then finally one band's like, can we pay you to do that for us? And it was kind of almost a joke. And I'm like, I guess we could try that. And I had a little bit of success. I'd always been like into writing and had done like a little bit of freelance writing here and there. Mm-hmm. So I was able to write press releases and I knew who to get it to. And so that's how it started. And it was all basically Cleveland artists that I was working with at the time and pitching them both to the Cleveland media that I knew and like nationally.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like it, one thing led to another. But once we moved to Nashville and I made more connections, it really kind of took off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing.
When we moved to Nashville, he was like, I can do this for at least 3 months and then we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then 3 months would come. Oh, let me try this for another 3 months and see how it goes.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. And so, now here we are 18 years later. Right.
I mean, did you seek out Americana recording artists, Americana bands, or did that just kind of come together naturally, organically?
It did, because that was a lot of the connections I made in Nashville. That's what the artists were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the biggest kind of light bulb thing was when I started doing referral work for a booking agency, New Frontier. And I still do. And that's basically what all their artists are. Mm-hmm. I think they have the Avid Brothers and a bunch of others.
Oh, gotcha.
Like pretty big names. Mm. And so once I got some of that work and then other work flowed from that, it went in that direction. And then when Americana got really huge, that helped too.
Yeah.
But before that, I was, you know, working with different genres.
Yeah.
Like even some like metal and yeah.
Oh yeah.
So how would you define Americana music? Because it's what it feels like to me. It feels like what we used to call on radio classic rock, but it's it actually kind of has like one toe dipped into the realm of country music too. So there's kind of that.
Yep.
A little bit of that vibe. In fact, a lot of your Americana artists have things that kind of have that folk country sound to it, but not all the time. It's sort of one of those things that I think a lot of your recording artists have a few songs that are along those lines, but then they also have that more traditional kind of Springsteen, Mellencamp kind of American sound to American rock and roll sound to it.
Roots.
And what's exactly. And what's so great about all of it is it is still like that four piece rock and roll. It doesn't have to be four piece. Obviously Gin Chocolate Bottle Rock is three piece, but I mean the same kind of thing, guitar, bass, drums, singer, rock and roll, right? It seems like the last bastion of that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think you kind of labeled it correctly when you said like folk and country.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when country became more like pop, the real country, so to speak, became like what they called alt country. And then they started calling that Americana. Mm-hmm. And then Americana wound up being like full roots, blues, country, alt country, rock, pop rock, pop rock with banjos and mandolins. And that's kind of where it went. So it's all over the map, which is a good thing.
Okay, we're going to get back to Jen and Mike here in just one second. But if you're looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, Omaha Steaks can help. What does Dad really want for Father's Day? Meat. Lots and lots of meat. And for a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha Steaks, plus other premium meats, side dishes, artisan desserts, and so much more. All ideal for Dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and delivered in a cooler with dry ice safely to his door. That means fresher than fresh, all backed by Omaha Steaks, unconditional, 100% money back guarantee. And by the way, Omaha Steaks, the greatest customer service in the history of customer service. It's a simple, delicious way to treat Dad this Father's Day, and you're giving him something he will actually enjoy. Right now, Omaha Steaks is offering access to a variety of amazing packages that are perfect to send Dad for Father's Day. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code LIBERAL in the search bar. You'll see all of the great options available, many that include free shipping and a free 1-pound package of their perfectly cured, incredibly thick Applewood smoked steak cut bacon. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter the code LIBERAL in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. Remember to enter the code LIBERAL in the search bar at omahasteaks.com.
Well, the unsolicited testimonials for Literati, the book club for kids, rolls in. JP says, my surrogate grandson Jack received his Literati books yesterday. He was so surprised and excited. This is a perfect gift for kids who are quarantined. He decided he would keep these two. He didn't want to read about Laura Ingalls Wilder. She's a girl. That's the great thing about Literati. You can keep the ones you want, send back the ones you don't. Every Literati book contains 5 books based on a theme. Right, your nephews have them. My ex's newborn
they
loves
love
it.
Them. And they have stickers so they can keep them straight so they don't get confused about whose books are whose.
OMG. Keep your favorites, send the rest back for free. For a limited time, go to literati.com/Stephanie. 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go to literati, literati.com/Stephanie. 25% off your first 2 subscriptions. America's number 1 book club for kids, Literati. It is essential in quarantine. That is literati.com/Stephanie. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bob Seska Show. When we were in Nashville and I was kind of like, hesitant to say this because I forgot who I was talking to, but there was a dude next to us who listened to Rush Limbaugh in his car, like blasting, like in the middle of the night, and had this girlfriend that they fought with, and then you know it was one of those like where the police would have to be called, and
oh great,
and people behind us were shooting like industrial strength fireworks. The summer of own like on the July 4th, 2009, God. And we at that point we were like, we have to get out of here. So,
we were surrounded by very red voting people.
And oh right.
Like, when Obama won the election, it's like we couldn't even celebrate that.
Right, except in our own bedroom,
like silently and quietly.
Well, now you're in Wisconsin. I mean, you're kind of in Trump territory now, aren't you?
We're surrounded by Trump territory. We still have like 40 square miles of a bubble.
A big blue dot.
I mean, did you ever think that Wisconsin was going to be, well, it's not officially a red state, but it was red in 2016. I mean, did you ever anticipate that would happen?
When Scott Walker won the governorship, it's like, wait, we just left this.
Yeah.
God, you know what? I almost forgot about that tool. Oh my God. The Trump thing has just erased anyone else from my head. It's just constantly about this guy, this gigantic, unforgivable pus monster in the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you look around? Did you drive outside like your neighborhood and stuff like that? And as you're driving around, you go, I can't believe these people were suckered into voting for that guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway. So Jen, are you in the band working full time now? You and Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets, is that a full time gig for you, or do you do something on the side? I mean, what do you keep busy with? I mean, besides raising a child and all of that stuff. I mean, that all of that aside.
That's a great question. So no, Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets is not my full-time thing. Mm. However, we'd love for it to be my full-time thing because we have so many different things that we're doing as a band. The band is also doing motivational speaking and creating workshops and retreats and different shows as well.
Yeah.
But when I'm not doing that, I just graduated from a professional coaching certification program at the UW. So I'm a professional life coach now.
Oh, that's great. And, I'm gonna hire you. I think I might be your first client.
Let's do it. Let's do this.
I could use some life coaching myself. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome. Yeah. She's so seriously a natural.
I also work at the UW with students at the Wisconsin Union.
Nice.
A program advisor.
So how did you decide? What made you decide to get into life coaching?
Well, the band has done so much in terms of empowerment for women and writing songs that really spoke to the heart.
Yeah.
So we were doing this motivational speaking and I felt like I needed some kind of credential. I needed some kind of, I needed something to back what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I was also doing work with student leaders at the Wisconsin Union and trying to mentor them and to advise them. And I felt like I needed help counseling and like learning how to do this. So this program at UW had been on my radar for a long time. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to just give it a shot and see if I can finally combine my love of music and my love of working with students into one thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am with coaching.
Oh, that's right, incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that you're actually using your voice, I mean, the fact that you're as a life coach, as a motivational speaker, it's kind of similar skill sets to being, the lead singer in a band, right? I mean, it's kind of, you're kind of carrying the crowd yourself. Do you find that there's some of that overlap?
It's amazing because I've really struggled with how to be authentic as a performer, as a coach, in so many different ways. Because in coaching, really, it's about listening and creating a relationship with people. And then as a performer, it's also about creating a relationship with the band, with the crowd that you're with, as well as with your bandmates. So there's so many different layers of authenticity, and coaching has really opened my eyes that I can be quiet and listen and be present and still be authentic, as well as being a loud badass rock star.
Yeah,
still be authentic.
She is that.
She is the
bottle rocket of Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, does the band title designate to each member of the band? Like someone's gin, someone's chocolate, and of course, you're Bottle Rocket. So
yeah, so we joke that we sometimes switch on and off depending on our moods. But really, Beth Killey is the gin, Shondell Marks is the chocolate because she's so sweet, and I am the Bottle Rocket.
That makes perfect sense now. That's amazing. Yeah.
When you see us perform live, it really makes sense.
Wow. Well,
talk about us blending well together. They really blend well together.
Absolutely. And you know, you have such a gorgeous singing voice. When did you first discover you might be able to do this professionally?
Yesterday.
I mean, was there a moment when you're listening to a song on the radio at age 12 or something like that, and you start singing along and someone goes, oh my God, you have a beautiful singing voice, Jen.
So I have always been a singer. Yeah. I have my family has pictures of me 5 years old standing on like the hearth of the fireplace, pretending it was a stage. So I did theater when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I was in bands. I was in show choir and doing the musicals. And so I have just always been out there and performing. And it's always been a part of my life in some way or another. Mm-hmm. To actually be able to do it as a full-time profession, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm not like a spring chicken either. So it's kind of, but I'm at that age where it's like, I give zero Fs now. I just want to go and do it.
Yeah,
like, let's just live your authentic and fun life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where I'm at.
Well, let's hear another song. I mean, the next song here, this song Disguise is also, coming up on the B-sides and rarities album. And it was originally released on your Blue album, Mike. And I played it on the show a couple of weeks ago. So let's hear a live version of Disguise with both of you.
I joke that Mike wrote this song and it's 50% mine anyways.
Yeah.
So I might as well do something good with it.
Yep, exactly.
Was it for real? Aching and hoping we stand, then we kneel. Ask me, where have I been? Choked in a stranglehold where love meets with sin. A lifetime did occur. Now we're dust upon the fur, and we'll blow it off and brush it and go back to where we were. I can see your disguise through the salt in my eyes, and this masquerade's reached its demise. There's a hole in my skin where the rain's rushing in, but the flood is our blood that is spilling deep within. Falling into a pile of wood cement, making impressions that lack a precedent. Dried up, fresh and smooth like stone, but the cracks in our driveway will deem us both alone. A lifetime did occur, now we're dust upon the fur, and we'll blow it off and brush it and go back to where we were. I can see your disguise through the salt in my eyes, and this masquerade's reached its demise. There's a hole in my skin where the rain's rushing in, but the flood is our blood that is spilling deep within. Freeways paved with memories, but what was there before? The painted lines will fade like the love we had was more. And our hearts will both feel sore, and we'll never understand why we could never fight this war. Through the salt in my eyes, and this masquerade's reached its demise. There's a hole in my skin where the rain's rushing in, but the blood is our blood that is spilling deep within.
Jen Farley and Mike Farley with Disguise. Wonderful, wonderful song. Oh, man. Yeah, sometimes I play on the free show. I'm only able to play like the first 40 seconds, minutes or so of music. But I every single time I want to play the whole song. And when I played Disguise, that was one of those cases. I was like, oh, God, I want to play this whole thing. And
well, that's why he started the Indie Music Countdown, right?
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, it's a platform, I think, to be able to do that, to do exactly that, and to put everything together in the form of a countdown show.
It's like Casey Kasem. I love it.
So I have a similar question for you, Mike, in terms of when you first discovered you could sing and you could actually play music and you might be able to do it for money in front of people. Mm-hmm. Was there a epiphany moment, sort of an aha moment for you too?
I don't think so, but when I look back on it, I mean, I always like was the kind of person that would put on a record and like air guitar, like in my bedroom. I would like do entire like sets like that with nobody watching, nobody knowing I'm doing it until just now.
Yeah.
And, so I knew that, but then I started playing guitar when I was 14 and like two other guys that I knew were starting a band, and they were like, hey, why don't you learn bass and come play with us? We need a bass player. And I went to the guitar store and I looked, I'm like, I don't want to play that thing with four strings. I want to play like the guitar. And like one of the guys said, well, why don't you just learn guitar then? And I did. And we started having like backyard concerts when I was 14.
Yeah.
My band was called Black Pearl or something like that.
Hey, that's a great name. That's a great name for a band, actually. Yeah. usually those teenage backyard bands have terrible, terrible names for the band.
Exactly. Right. So then that kind of grew into a band that I had like through high school. Mm-hmm. And we kind of evolved into a metal band.
Yeah.
I loved at that point. I had never been much of a singer until that band, and I mean, I really like enjoyed it. And you know, the harder I worked at it, people started noticing that I could sing.
Yeah.
And it kind of evolved naturally like that, I guess.
Were you getting contacted a lot by people who needed singers for the band? I mean, that to me, when I was playing music, the big commodity, the rarity, in fact, was finding someone who could sing, who could be the lead singer in a band. Because it's, you can kind of teach guitar, you can teach bass, you can kind of teach drums, although I find that drums are much more, what would you call it, genetic based. You have to have that genetic ability to discoordinate your body parts. And that's a rare thing. But with singing, that is something that is almost impossible to teach. I mean, you can kind of get someone into an area where they're singing in key, but to actually have that spark, it's something that is so seldom found. So I imagine you had, in fact, both of you had to have been constantly pestered by people. Come sing for our band. No, come sing for our band. Was there ever kind of that bidding war over your skills as singers?
For me, no. I mean, it was like I had that band and I was usually only in one band at a time. Unless it was like thrown together for a talent show or something. I don't think anyone ever said, hey, come join my band. And it, like not being something that I was already in. Like right as we were getting together, Jen and me, we were asked to do a radio commercial for a car dealership in Cleveland.
Oh my God, that's right.
Wow.
Like this was before we were like officially dating.
Yeah. In fact, it was the night before 9/11.
It was.
Oh my God. What kind of car commercial was this? Were they looking for you guys to perform a song or something on the?
We did a jingle.
It was a jingle that these two guys who ran a studio wrote, and we were just there to sing it together.
Oh my God! And it played the whole season for the Cleveland Indians, like during the commercial breaks.
Yeah, and I was like, oh God!
So we would hear ourselves singing. So we did this like local commercial, this local jingle.
Wow.
And it was right before, it was the day before 9/11, but it was right before we started officially dating.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was a car dealership. It was for a car dealership.
Dick Bass does a handiwork. The sales staff gives the cars away at 4499 Northfield Road, the home of Best Chevrolet.
That's awesome. I almost want you to sing that. I almost want to hire you to sing a jingle for me for my show.
Totally.
Yeah, so we could totally do that for sure.
I'll I'll be your life coach and jingle person.
That's right. Absolutely. I'll put you both on retainer or something, and I need. Yeah. So you guys are performing a lot together on Facebook. Is that happening every week?
We just finished the band Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets was doing virtual happy hours for the last every week. We just had our last one. We figured with the warm weather, people don't want to be inside watching on Facebook.
Right.
But so we'll probably have some more. But since the three of us were all in different spots, we couldn't perform on Zoom or Facebook Live together.
Mm-hmm.
So we each individually would do a song. We also featured a local venue, a local bar or wine or beer place in the area. So people knew these venues would have us play. So we wanted to support them in some way while they were closed during the quarantine. So it was really fun. And so Mike and I would play at least one song together a night. And we did a thing for Americana Highway, which was
That was last week.
A half hour little Facebook Live thing as well. Yeah. So Mike and I, every New Year's, we have a resolution that we want to play at least two shows together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like because of quarantine, we have hit that resolution and then some.
Yeah.
We also did a couple parodies. We did one of one of my songs, Far Away, and turned it into 6 Feet Away.
Yes.
And then,
yeah.
And then we did this song, Two of Us, the Beatles. As three of us with
our son.
Because
we have three people in our house.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's the three of us being home kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
You want to play the Beatles song? You want to play Two of Us here?
Sure.
Great.
Yes, that would be great.
It was, we went under The Luckiest. Our wedding song was Ben Folds' The Luckiest. So we just went with that as our cover thing.
Now we're just going by the Farleys.
Yeah. Right, the Farleys. So it's not cover to cover anymore. It's the Farleys.
Yeah, and we don't have to explain that to people. Right. Just the Farleys.
So the cover to cover is the name of the EP, but we are the Farleys.
Yeah. All right, perfect, perfect. So let's hear Two of Us by the Beatles.
All right.
Two of us riding nowhere, spending someone's harder pay. Two of us Sunday driving, not arriving on our way back home. We're on our way home. We're on our way home. We're going home. Two of us sending postcards, writing letters on my wall. You and me burning matches, lifting latches on our way back home. We're on our way home. We're on our way home. We're going home. Out ahead.
Wonderful. This is such a privilege to hear this music live. I mean, I feel like just an audience of one. In fact, I'm literally an audience of one right now, at least, at least for now. So tell me, what is next for not only the Mike Farley Band, but all of your clients, Mike, and then also what's next for Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets?
Well, for me, my band was going to do a reunion show this past weekend.
Yeah.
And it was like the 20-year anniversary of Half a World Away coming out. And of course, we had to scrap that until probably next year, hopefully next year. Mm. So that's why we had those recordings we were sitting on, and I wanted to get something out. So that's why we did that. But otherwise, you know, I'll probably write more with Jeff, and we'll probably record again. He moved from Seattle to Detroit, so he's closer.
Yeah.
So we might eventually get into doing more stuff. Clients, you know about Michael, his album, What in the World, comes out next Friday, this June 5th.
Great.
I've got like Brian Lissick's album is coming out, I think, toward the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two other projects too. Scott Cook, Canadian singer-songwriter. I gotta remember to send you his stuff like today, because you're gonna be blown away.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
He's got a song called "Say Can You See" that is being released like as a single. It's amazing. He's Canadian, but he sings it as if he's an American, and big time progressive. And he's like a writer of like politics and stuff too.
Oh, so cool.
And then this other thing called Right by the Sea, where it's this Rock by the Sea organization had like, they stuck a bunch of songwriters in the house,
mm-hmm.
And had them write, record, and release a whole album's worth of stuff in like a week. Nice. And that's amazing. Really amazing too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just incredible. And Jen.
Yeah. And Jen.
Yeah. For Gin so Chocolate Gin, Bottle Rockets.
Well, right now we're kind of just waiting to see when we can perform live again. We're taking it gig by gig. Mm-hmm. So I think everything in June has been canceled. So we will see what July brings in August, but we're just being very cautious.
Yeah.
Cause we want to be socially responsible as well. But we are also working on an awesome show. Hopefully we'll be able to perform it in the fall. It's a tribute to the trio, Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt.
Nice.
And we're going to create a show around that. We also are still doing our motivational speaking of Living in Harmony, where we talk about how music and your life can correlate. And we're just doing more Facebook Live things and recording together as when we can. So we are still pushing and cooking. And
do you think the streaming video is going to become a marketable outlet for live performances going forward? It seems like a new world.
Things have to change. Things are going to change. And so we're all kind of jumping into a new phase of things. And
yep.
No, it's
I knew that like that was going to be a possibility, like once this whole quarantine started,
mm-hmm.
that, well, bands aren't touring, they have to do something. And it kind of all just like there was this groundswell of it. And it's been pretty cool to see. But I think, you know, there's only so much you can do of that.
Right.
And
yeah.
And plus bands are like not living all together. So they're having to kind of do things separately, which is not always easy.
Yeah. It seems like it's now starting to catch on as a thing. I think it's only a matter of time as people become accustomed to maybe keeping an eye out on social media for live performances. Whereas maybe before it wasn't even really on anyone's radar, the idea of sitting in front of a, you know, a Facebook window or something like that and watching a band perform live. But now it seems like there's almost a process of adaptation where the fact that it's happening now kind of puts the taste in everyone's mouth. Like, I get it now. You can kind of do this on the internet. You can kind of have these live performances and not that they'll necessarily replace, you know, being in person live, but at least as something to fill in the gaps, maybe as a possibility too.
Yeah. At least for now. And how lucky are we that we have this kind of technology?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And it, like we did last week, we got to interact with fans, or Jen did, while we were doing that set for Americana Highways. So that was cool. There's a lot of that happening, which is great.
Well, Farley's, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and especially for performing for us today.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and for all that you do for musicians out there. And
absolutely,
really
my pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you for introducing me to all these bands. And in fact, not only bands that are your clients, Mike, but also bands like Young Gun Silver Fox, who I'd never heard of before until you mentioned those guys to me. And now I'm a super fan of
they're so good.
I actually did work with them for like a couple months to help them like get some exposure in the US.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They're kind of at the vanguard of the resurgence of yacht rock. It's kind of an amazing thing to observe. Just as soon as it gets on
amazing.
Everyone's. Yeah, exactly. I think it's now on everyone's radar. The whole idea of going back to that genre that seemed like for a long time it was extinct, and now it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But thank you again for all of that. And thank you to the both of you once again. And I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thank you,
Bob.
You
too. Thank you.
Take care. Good luck. Bye-bye. Oh, hey, don't turn off the show just yet. Now more than ever, we're all thinking about our hygiene. We're washing our hands. We're sneezing into our arms. But what about your cell phone? It's a disgusting carrier of germs. It's gross. Disgusting. I'm phone shaming you. That's right. Phones are a vector for disease, and we rarely clean them. We're constantly touching our phones with our hands and even pressing them to our faces. It's time to take cleaning your phones seriously. The Clean Phone Pro Sanitizer uses medically proven UV light technology to kill 99.99% of all bacteria that comes in contact with your phone. Better than wipes and safe for your device, the Clean Phone Pro gets every inch of your phone clean with 9 high-power UVC lights. There's a dedicated wireless charging pad on top of the chamber. You can be sanitizing your other items while wirelessly charging your phone, or just use the Clean Phone Pro as your go-to charging station anytime you want. A fully removable top means easier fit for more items and larger items, too. Go to thecleanphone.com today and get one for just $89 and free shipping when you use the code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word. If you're serious about hygiene, it's time to get serious about cleaning your phone. Go to thecleanphone.com and keep your phone truly clean. Remember to use the code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, for 2-day free shipping, and it's going to ship immediately. That's thecleanphone.com, thecleanphone.com.